From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of April, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, last week's Texas fertilizer dealership explosion is raising safety concerns around the nation, and officials at the WHO, the World Health Organization, are concerned the new strain of bird flu in China has managed to spread human to human. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago at this hour. The futures for the soft red winter wheat finished up like this for the day. The nearby contract at 7.02 and a quarter. That was down 6 3/4. The July at 7.02 and a half, down 9 cents. And September at 7.10 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. Let's check in on the corn pit now from the futures there. 6.45 and 3/4, down 6 1/4 for the day. July at 6.23 and a half, 9 1/2 cents lower. And September at 5.56, down 16. December corn at 5.33, down 14. The March contract at 5.43 and 3/4. That's 13 1/2 lower for the afternoon. May corn of next year, 5.51 and 3/4, down 13 1/4. From the bean pit, nearby May contract, $14.17 and a quarter. That finished 11 cents lower. July at 13.64 and a quarter, down 18 1/4, and the August soybeans at 13.09 1/2, down 19 cents. September futures, $12.43, down 15 1/4. November at 12.02 3/4 for the harvest month. November beans down 10 1/4. January of next year, a dime lower at $12.10 3/4. Bean meal futures on the day at $410, down 2.40. Bean oil at $48.62, 54 cents lower. Live cattle finished the June contract at $120.82 1/2. That was 47 1/2 lower for the afternoon. August there at 121.40, down 22 1/2. The May feeders at 138.60, 60 lower. And the lean hogs finished the June at $89.45, down 75 cents. This, of course, is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil trading the May contract, $88.76 a barrel. That's up 75 cents. The RBOB gasoline at 277, just about 0.2 cents lower. And ethanol trading at 245 9/10, down 2 9/10 cents. The difference between the two, 31 1/10 cents. That's 2 6/10 wider than it was on Friday. Natural gas at 427, down 13 8/10 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 2 1/2 cents higher a gallon at $2.81 3/10 cents. Gold futures finished at $14.21. That's up $25.70. And the U.S. dollar is up 0.03, rather down 0.03, at 82.68. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of just about 68 degrees this afternoon. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m. this evening. And then we'll get a little bit more rainfall, because by the time we get to tomorrow, we have a 90% chance of rainfall. Occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. A high tomorrow of 61 degrees on a southwest wind at 11 to 17. Showers will continue into Monday evening, and then a chance of showers on Wednesday morning, a low of 38 degrees. By the time we get to Wednesday during the daytime, skies will clear out. It'll be partly sunny and a high of 52 degrees. Partly cloudy on Wednesday night and a low of 37. Thursday, mostly sunny skies and a high near 54. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we come up to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They, of course, are in Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Of course, it's a Monday afternoon on Kurt, you're going to have to help me out with a day. 20 what? 1st? 2nd of April? I don't remember off the top of my head. Usually I have that right there with me.
It's flying by. It's 22nd.
Yeah, I was thinking it was the 22nd. So let's talk about the marketplace, how things open overnight, and what's changed for the day today.
Well, the overnight trade started off kind of a thump type of lower opening and just open lower and wallered there. Forecasters got a little warmer trend coming our way here. Once we get past Tuesday's rain event, the models are on a mixed bag. One's staying a little wetter, the other a little drier. But for the most part, with the warmer weather, ideas our evaporation rates could pick up here. And the rains aren't that heavy, we can make some progress in some areas. The trades, you know, focusing towards this first week of May with the idea that we can maybe see some activity as far as getting some corn in the ground to get the process going. Ideas are, you know, we still have till this 12th, 14th of May, and we start getting to that time window and don't see a good start, and the trade will be a little bit more serious. But the market needed to do what it has been doing. Went down to some support areas and kind of held. The November beans did take out $12, ran the stops, but came back and closed back above $12 on some bear spreading or unwinding of the bull spread there, Todd.
Yeah, are you concerned at this point about what will happen either once the planters start to roll, if that begins to happen next week, or if not, about the time frame or the gap, I suppose, that might be put into place between when old crop would run out and new crop would come in? And they're two different things. One would be much higher, and one of them could offer up a pretty good drop in the marketplace.
Yeah, we feel as a producer the risk is to the downside. You go back past history here. It's awful hard to get the trade real bullish on too wet weather at this point in time. And we went through 93. We were well in the growing season, and it took, you know, the levees breaking and taking out farmsteads along the river that really got the trade excited. As you know, we were point of no return at that point in time. But here, there's still a ray of hope, even though some of these lower low-lying areas will, you know, have quite a challenge to work with and might not be able to get some crop into the ground. But you're correct. The timing of the whole issue is a major thing. Over the last couple of years, we've seen the end user come forward, rob new crop supplies to satisfy old crop demand, and it's going to be kind of important here to get this crop in and have some early maturity to satisfy this demand. But part of the end users, though, are geared up to take some downtime during that time period. I know you need livestock feed. They just don't stop feeding livestock for a day or two. But for the most part, they're gathering coverage and trying to get through that until that new crop comes online. The key is probably, or key movement will probably be more in the cash side. I think everyone's pretty well in agreement that cash continues to be tight. Basis is going to do its thing to satisfy demand. If you don't have a truck, I'd line up some trucking if you still have some old crop around. I think it's, as we move down the road in through here, the biggest opportunity you have as a producer or grain owner is if you have on-farm storage and have the capability to search out those hot bids, and you might have to truck a while, but I think it'll pay off. And I think that's where most of the action is going to be, is the cash grain guys, what type of quote they put out to satisfy that hot spot demand, Todd.
Now, do you watch that for folks at your brokerage, Sam?
Not a whole lot. We got so many customers, we'd have to watch so many locations.
Right.
But when there is one, we do hear, because people are eager or anxious to pass that on. You've got some real good cash grain guys on your programs,
right,
that can keep most listeners more informed than I can. I'm mainly futures, but we do pass that on when we do hear of it.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Well, kind of a two-edged sword here. We've seen a futures-wise a back off in grain, give you opportunity to get a little coverage on through here. But in the same breath, we've seen the overall price drop too. This afternoon's cold storage report confirms we got ample supplies of meat around in storage. We just need to get the demand, domestic consumption going here. We've had awful bad weather, awful bad events take place here. It's really slowed down the consumption of meat. So hopefully this warmer forecast will hold true, get Mother's Day going, Memorial Day going here, and get some good old-fashioned red meat demand cooking here, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report on this 22nd day of April, a Monday afternoon. Hey, a couple of things I'd like you to take time right now to do, because you probably have a little time if you're a producer and you're not in the field, but you've been trying to get the planters set, and maybe it's too wet even to continue to do that process, and you're listening to find out what's happening in the grain markets. We try to do that several times a day, and certainly here on the Closing Market Report, each and every afternoon from 2:06 to 2:36, or if you happen to listen to us later, we'd like you to give as well. But to pledge your financial support to this radio station, to the programming, like the Closing Market Report, we are public radio, after all. We air on many places, other stations, right here on our own home station, WILL. You can find us on the web, but however you listen to us, about 40% of the budget that goes to produce these kinds of programmings, this program in particular, comes from you. And we sure do depend on you to deliver that, so here's a good way to do it. It's 217-244-9455. It doesn't take much time. Just call in the number right now, and you can pledge your financial support, and you literally can just pledge your financial support if you want. You can pay, too, at the same time, and Discover, American Express, MasterCard, Visa. You can write us a check, but however you do it, it's really important for you to call in right now. And again, the number to call is 217-244-9455. John Steinbacher is with us. He's the director of membership, and he's the guy your job is to take care of the folks that call in.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you call in, we make it as simple as possible to make your pledge. And in fact, there's a group of loyal business supporters of WIL Ag, and they've gotten together to put together an Ag Fund Challenge. So if we hear from 150 pledges this week that mention Will Ag when they go online or call, again, that's 217-244-9455, we can add $3,700 to our pledge total. So that's huge. That's a great incentive to
give. That is a big deal. So we want to hear from 150 during the week, so let's just say it was 5 days. Mm-hmm. We're already about 10% of the way there.
Absolutely.
But we need to be 20% of the way there by the time we get around to the end of the afternoon, so we need people to call in right now.
Absolutely, and this just drive is special in that if we reach our overall goal, once we reach our overall goal for the whole station, including Ag Support and and our music station and other things, of $120,000, we will end the drive early.
Oh, hey, ending the drive early is always good, John. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Closing Market Report. John Steinbacher is a director of membership. If you are wanting to dial in your support right now, please do so. The number to call is 217-244-9455. You know, Dave Dickey and I like to think about the $120 level. Less is fine, more is great, but whatever you do, we kind of think it's the right thing to do. So just dial in that support at 217-244-9455. Speaking of Dave, he will be here in just a moment with today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In agricultural news, the explosion last Wednesday night at the West Fertilizer Company in West Texas is raising questions about the safety of fertilizer storage at a time when nitrogen fertilizer plants are being reopened or built new across the country. As many as 15 people are feared dead, and more than 160 others were injured from the blast. The facility had a total storage for anhydrous ammonia of 54,000 pounds, a relatively small amount of storage for the nitrogen fertilizer. Federal authorities are treating the explosion as a crime scene. World Health Organization officials today say there may have been limited human-to-human transmission of the H7N9 virus in China. As of Sunday, the virus had killed 20 and infected 102 other people. Shanghai has seen new cases slow in the past 10 days, in spite of more new cases elsewhere in the country. The economic impact of bird flu in China is starting to emerge, with poultry industry losses hitting over $2 billion in less than a month, and a fall in corn and soybean imports is likely to be just over the horizon. Losses include culling birds due to a lack of buyers and to control the spread of the virus, and selling at below cost due to reduced demand. China produces about 17 million tons of poultry meat annually, and a potential 5% reduction can reduce corn feed demand by 2.25 million tons. A survey of business economists released today says that Washington's belt tightening is having a minimal effect on businesses. The survey by the National Association for Business Economics asked how higher taxes and lower government spending had affected businesses in the first 3 months of the year. 93% of respondents said the political developments had no effect on employment levels for the first quarter, and 95% said they had no impact on capital spending plans. 16% said the higher taxes and lower government spending had hurt sales. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Have you dialed in your financial support just yet to 217-244-9455? I hope so, but if not, now's the time to either dial in brand new support or upgrade the support you've already offered to us here at Illinois Public Media at WILLAG or willag.org. It's not free to give it to you, but we deliver it that way nonetheless in the hopes that you will find it very useful. About 40% of the cost to produce these programs comes from you. That's right, you write the check for it, and then we deliver it back to you. So we need you to dial in right now with that check, that support, that financial underpinning that brings you programs like the Closing Market Report. You can do it 217-244-9455 right now. It's really quick, simple, and easy to do. Only takes about a minute and a half, and it's just the right thing to do. Now, up next, you know, herbicide carryover from last year's crop may still be a problem, that despite the rainfall across the Midwest. I'll have more on two variables to the degradation equation. The year after a drought, farmers are often reminded to be careful about planting too early. This is because the lack of rainfall causes some herbicides not to break down in the soil. They can carry over into the following year, and if the field is planted to a different crop, it can damage or even kill it. Now, you might be thinking, so what? The rains have been falling and the growing season is off to a slow start. Problem solved. Well, maybe not, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
The precipitation that we've had, at least, let's say that occurred past October to the present time, has certainly been helpful to us. But there's two parts of the equation, if you would, with respect to herbicide degradation in the soil. And number one, of course, we do need the moisture, but the moisture we really need because it supports the growth and the activity of the soil microorganisms. And these are the soil critters, if you would, that utilize many of the herbicides that we use as a source of energy. So they basically consume it. Now, they need moisture, which is always a concern that we have in dry year, but they also need warm soil temperatures.
Ah, hold the phone. How warm? Well, greater than 40 degrees. The rains since last fall have come on soils in large part that have not exceeded 40 degrees, or at least not for very many days, and therein lies the problem.
So it's going to take still a little bit of time now that we do have the moisture in the soil. Once the soils warm up and the microbial activity begins to increase, this is the time that we would then expect the degradation of these soil-applied herbicides or soil residual herbicide used last year to begin to increase also.
Again, it takes rainfall and soil temperatures above 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Those two items and time.
The longer that we can delay planting in areas where we do still have concern, if farmers did use long residual herbicides last year, the later that we would plant those fields simply allows additional time for more of that herbicide to be degraded.
There are no exacting rules on how long, but nature may now be imposing enough delay to alleviate worries of herbicide carryover damage to rotational crops. That is, if the soil temperatures actually begin to rise significantly before the planters roll. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson of the Andersons is here to take up the cash grain market. Greg, they're not in the field, so have they been calling you?
Really, they haven't been calling too much today. With the sell-off that we've seen, I think most people are just kind of waiting to see if we can get some kind of a bounce based on some weather concerns.
No, they're waiting for weather concern bounce, and I guess they could see another sell-off instead.
They're waiting. Well, it can go either way. You're right.
It always can. So what's your druthers there?
I guess historically, planting delays have not been a big rally focus for the market. You know, in 2009, we planted corn in mid to late May, and it turned out all right. I know we don't want to do that every year. The odds are against having a good crop, if we did that every year. But any one particular year, it could be okay. And the bottom line is, today we can't prove that planting corn in mid-May or, you know, later than what we'd like to plant, we can't prove that we've hurt the crop yet. So until we can prove something, the traders are probably going to take a wait-and-see attitude.
Well, that might take a month.
Exactly. I mean, I think you mentioned on the air last week that historically the market tends to go down from planting time to, you know, sometime in late May, early June. I mean, you know, we've had pretty good sell-offs, and really, what can we talk about if we get it planted until we get to pollination? Now, the last 3 years we've had pollination problems, but until we get to that point, unless we just don't plant all the acres, and that could happen in certain areas, but today it's tough to prove that.
I know what we can talk about: the gap time. I bet you've talked about that today.
So. Well, a little bit, yeah.
So what do you think about that August time frame then?
Well, you know, there is corn in Brazil and Argentina that can be exported up here. Now, you know, the gap is going to have to, you know, the spread's going to have to be pretty wide between old crop and new crop. But just about the time you think it, you know, the market just has to invert to historically high levels, you know, the market has a way of figuring out the problem. And so we can bring in corn from South America if the price is right.
What are your bids there for the day?
Cash corn is $6.65. New crop corn, $5.16. Old crop beans, $14.38. New beans, $11.82. And new wheat, $6.82.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Have you dialed in your financial support yet? Please do if you haven't already. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
It's National Jelly Bean Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1763, Jared Elliott died. Elliott was an American colonial clergyman and agronomist who wrote essays upon field husbandry, a tome about reducing inefficiency and waste in colonial farming methods. He also invented a drill which would open a furrow, plant seed, and drop manure in a single operation. In 1778, James Hargreaves died. He was the English inventor of the spinning jenny, the first practical application of multiple spinning of raw cotton by a machine. In 1832, Julius Sterling Morton was born. He was the founder of Arbor Day, first observed in Nebraska on April 10, 1872.
In 1889, the U.S. opened Oklahoma to homesteaders, and the Oklahoma land rush officially began at 12 o'clock noon. In 1913, Thomas Wright of New Jersey patented a method to load ice onto refrigerator railroad cars. In 1945, Robert Elmer Horton died. Horton was an American hydraulic engineer whose studies on rainfall drainage established a basis for the analysis of soil erosion and soil conservation. 1 month before he died, Horton published a 95-page landmark paper that summarized 2 decades of study on rainfall drainage. And in 1970, the first Earth Day was celebrated, and that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Let's check in on the weather forecast. John Davis is with us in Chicago, Illinois, there at Chesapeake Energy. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, I want more of today. More todays. Can you bring those to me?
There will be more and more, yes, from this point on.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, but you know, that's not really much of a weather forecast, I have to tell you.
But it does look like certainly things are easing. And you know, April, which has been, of course, one of the coldest and wettest Aprils we've ever had across the Midwest, it does look like things are easing as we round out the month and go into the early portion of May. So the types of days that we're having here right now, we certainly are going to see a quick acceleration of those types of days the end of this month and into the early portion of May, yes.
Probably need 2 things. Rain to shut off in parts of the Midwest. I think that may happen.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is we need a bit warmer temperatures. Actually, we need a lot warmer temperatures, at least at night. What are you saying?
Sure. Well, certainly those two features are correlated. And when you do tend, especially at this time of year, do tend to dry things out and have less rainfall across the Midwest, you inherently tend to warm temperatures just because at this time of year with the higher sun angle and the longer days, you certainly have a lot more radiation or heat at that time of the year. So especially this time of year, that's pretty highly correlated. And as we do begin to ease the pattern and go into a drier pattern, temperatures also will be on the warmer side.
All right. Then if you look a little further out and give us kind of a forecast, please.
Well, from a forecast standpoint, you know, overall we will have another rain system in the short term this week, you know, with good rains coming in, another cold shot. But then after that, by the weekend and next week, looks like we will have about a 7-day stretch of fair dry conditions across the bulk of the Midwest. That's the longest stretch of open weather or dry weather that we've had in a very long time across the belt. And it looks like as we go into the early portion of May, again, no sign of any kind of a huge return to very heavy rains and certainly a warmer pattern in general.
Have you looked at China to see how they're starting their growing season?
Yeah, they've had some issues up to this point, and mainly the issues have been with cold temperatures, kind of much like the Midwest. They, too, will be easing their pattern upcoming, and it looks like their cold pattern will tend to break as we go through the next week or two. So improving situation in China as well.
Hey, John, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. A few people to thank who've dialed in their pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455. Hopefully you will join them soon. Chuck and Rennie Ehler. Thanks, Chuck and Rennie, from right here in Champaign County, have dialed in. Alan Herbst has dialed in as well. They called 217-244-9455. Or they may have gone online and pledged at willag.org up in the top of the webpage there. I think you'll find that pledge button. However you do it, it's important to us, it's important to you, and it's just the right thing to do. pledge your financial support. This is public radio, and it's supported by you. About 40% of our budget comes from you, and it also comes from the folks like the business people who have pledged $3,700 to our pot if we hear from 150 of you. Now, we've got about 10% of that done as of this afternoon, maybe more by now. Hopefully, we'll get 20% of it done, but we need you to call in at 217-244-9455. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.